Side 3, Braille and Speak Classic Tutorial Cassette, continuing with macros.
You may find it helpful to write your macro out either in Braille or dictated on tape before you actually do it so that you know what you did and so that you may be able to figure out what went wrong if it doesn't turn out right. Now, I'm deleting my practice file.
File is empty.
There it is. It's empty. I'm going to do this macro twice. I'm going to do J chord A, and then you'll be able to tell, even as I will, when it'll be time for me to do the macro again.
Macro.
Did you hear that click? Let's do it again.
Macro.
Now let's test. We'll go to the top of the file and read all of it.
American Printing House for the Blind, P.O. Box 6085, Louisville, Ty4020-0206-0085, Phone 800-223-1839, American Printing House for the Blind, P.O. Box 6085, Louisville, Ty4020-0206-0085, Phone 800-223-1839.
The double click was caused by the two E chords that I'd placed in the macro, and that's why I put them there. Every time that macro is executed, or that set of macros is executed, that double click indicates that it's finished. In the same way, you can place your return address inside a macro, and every time you want to write a letter to someone, you can simply issue that macro play command, J chord followed by your label, and have it done automatically, including tabbing over 30 or more spaces if that's what you want to do. Now, having written a macro, it is possible to protect it. That is, you can make it impossible accidentally to write that macro. It is possible, I suppose, to enter an N chord if you're writing quickly and not just the letter N. And then the first character following such an N chord would be thought of by the classic as the label of a macro. To prevent this sort of accident, you can protect your macros by entering N chord followed by P chord for protect. N chord.
Macro enter AP.
Followed by P chord.
Write protected.
Write protected. Now, I'm going to begin to try to write another macro with the letter A as a label.
Macro enter AP. Write protected.
When, as soon as I entered the letter A, it said write protected, meaning you can't do that. The protection of macros is an all-or-none situation. If I want to try to write macro J, which doesn't exist in this classic machine,
macro enter AP, write protected.
Again, as soon as I entered the letter J, it said write protected. To remove that protection, all I have to do is N chord for macro. That is N as in November chord, followed by the letter U chord.
Unprotected.
Protection is now removed. Two commands, K chord and V chord, kill and verbalize macro speech. We are not violent by nature. K chord and kill make up a memory combination. V for verbalize, meaning listen to the macro speak each stage as the command or the situation is executed. Most of the time we'll want macro speech to be silent. Let's go back to our space key label, the one that caused Braille and Speak to announce the time when we turned it on. I'm going to write that macro again and start it by entering the space bar as my label and then a K chord to silence macro speech.
Macro enter AP. Recording.
That was the space key.
Off.
K chord. O chord.
Option.
T.
The time is 3:31 p.m.
N chord to end our macro.
Macro end.
Now this is the macro which, just a short time ago, announced the time when we turned the Braille and Speak on. Let's do it again.
Braille and Speak Classic Ready. Practice 1 page Braille file.
No time announcement. Why? Because we have silenced macro speech. All right, let's do it again.
Macro, Enter 80.
Space key.
Recording.
V chord.
Speed macros.
O chord.
Option.
T.
The time is 3:33 p.m.
N chord.
Macro, end.
Now we turn the Braille and Speak off. Wait just a bit and turn it back on.
Braille and Speak Classic Ready. Practice 1 page. Braille file. Option. The time is 3:33 p.m.
So there's one instance of a macro where having speech on during the performance of a macro is essential. The next two commands are pause for single character and line pause. Now, pause for single character means pause the operation of the macro so that you, the operator, can enter a single character. Line pause means pause the operation of the macro so that you, the operator, can enter two or more characters into your macro. The pause for single character was more useful before continuous overwrite came on the scene. With a macro, you could pause for a single character, go into overwrite mode, replace, have the macro continue to move you forward with a .6 chord and so on. But that's not necessary now because of continuous overwrite. This is not to say that the command is useless. Depending on your needs, there may be times when it'll come in handy. To pause for a single character, you enter a CH sign, a .16 chord. That's all. To pause for a line or for two or more characters, it's a double CH chord, CH sign chord, CH sign chord, and you end the pause with an E chord. Since Braille and Speak doesn't know how many characters you're going to want to enter during the pause, it has to be told when the time to pause is finished. Let's do a fairly complicated single character pause. I'm going to write a macro that will first silence its speech, then turn on the calculator, pause for a single character while I enter a letter indicating one of the 25 available memory storage areas. I'll enter a plus sign, pause so that I can enter a single digit, enter an E chord so that the result will be in the current display register, enter S chord for storage, and pause so that I can tell it into which storage register I want to place the result, enter a Z chord to exit the calculator, and finish off with a few E chords just to make a click so that I know that the calculation and storage have been performed. It goes like this.
Macro, enter 80. Recording. Off. Option. See calculator ready.
All right, the calculator is turned on. Now we'll pause.
Pause.
I'll enter a space character.
Space.
Plus.
Plus.
Pause again.
Pause.
A space.
Space.
E chord.
Error. Syntax error.
Pay no attention to that. It'll straighten itself out when the macro is actually executed with real numbers.
Store. Pause.
Pause again.
Space invalid expression.
Again, pay no attention. Exit.
Exit.
E chord, E chord, E chord. And end the macro with N chord.
Macro end.
Now, we're still in the practice file, which is empty.
File is empty.
We're going to play with this macro a little bit. We're going to use it.
Macro.
I've entered an A to indicate that's the macro I want to use. Now, the letter A, that's the memory I want to use. I want to enter 3. And I want to store it in A. Those three pops tell me that we're in the file again. We've exited the calculator. Let's look at our work.
Option C, A, 3.
And sure enough, I looked at memory A and there were 3. Now let's do it again. I exited the calculator. This time we'll store 7 in A.
Macro.
A, 7, A. We'll look.
Option C, calculator ready, A, 10.
Aha, and there are 10 in A because there had been 3, and now we've added 7 to A and stored it and have a result of 10 in A. Now this time, let's look at memory A.
A, 10.
And B.
B, 0. 0.
I'm going to use that macro again, and what I'm going to do is...
Macro.
Enter A as the memory I want to call up. A, 3, B. Now, what should our result be? We called up what was in A, added 3 to it, and stored our work in B. Well, let's have a look.
Option C, calculator ready.
Let's look at A.
A, 1, 0.
There's still a 10 in there. Let's look at B.
B, 1, 3.
13. We added 3 to the 10 that had been in A, displayed it, and then stored that result in memory storage register B. What do you suppose would happen if, instead of pausing for a single digit, we wrote during the pause periods A, B, and C? Let's find out. Macro.
Macro.
A. Then A, B, C. And there are the pops. Now let's look at the calculator.
Option C, calculator ready.
And look at memory C.
C, 2, 3.
23, sure enough. The 10 from A, the 13 from B, were added and stored in C. Of what value is this? Well, that's up to you. This has been an exercise to show you what you can do with a macro, what you need to do, and how you do it will be up to you as you work with and learn to use your Braille and Speak Classic. Now, this next macro involves a line pause, pausing for 2 or more characters. Again, it involves the use of the calculator. It turns on the calculator, then it calls up a specific memory, enters a plus sign, pauses for me to enter a value, displays the result, and stores the result in the original memory that was called up at the time the macro began its work. It exits the calculator and ends with a few E chord clicks. I'm going to write this one using the label T for total. It might be helpful as you think of macro labels to use labels that mean something with respect to the work that the macro is supposed to be doing. So this will be macro T.
Macro enter A, T. Recording.
I'll turn it off with a K chord.
Off. Option C, calculator ready. A plus pause. Line pause. Pause end. Error, syntax error. Store, A, OK. Exit. Macro end.
Now that was a quick run-through after considerable thought. This is the way I use the macro. If I'm making a trip for the American Printing House, I will have to submit an expense statement on my return. That's an accounting for every APH dollar I have spent. At the end of that accounting, there needs to be a total. I begin my work by making sure that the memory in which I plan to store all this information is clear. So,
option C, calculator ready.
I'll look at memory A.
A, 0.000.
Fine. I have exited the calculator now. Suppose I'm on a trip, and I first spend $7.93.
Macro.
Macro T, 7.93. And then I spend $2.07.
Macro.
2.07 E chord. Now let's look at memory A.
Option C, calculator ready. A, 1, 0.
$10. $10. I then spend, let's exit first.
Exit. Macro.
$9.99. I am a cheap date. 9.99. Now we should be able to look.
Option C, calculator ready.
At the calculator and find what's in A.
A, 19.99.
19.99. 10 was given as a whole number because when nothing but zeros follow a decimal point, the calculator doesn't speak them. As I said earlier, your imagination is the limit as to what you can do with macros. You can do all sorts of fun, useful, and interesting things with them. You can even relate them to other Braille and Speak activities. For example, I once wrote a macro that read the current line of a file in which I had written a very long line. The macro read the current line, silenced macro speech, switched to the countdown timer, counted off 45 seconds, left the timer, read the current line again, and chained or connected to itself. What this meant was that the message in the file was read. There was a 45-second pause, and the message was read again. This could be used for making a talking sign. Have fun. Now our adventure continues with a study of files. Back when we were studying writing commands and activities, we did just enough with file commands to carve out for ourselves a place in which to work. Anytime you write text in your Braille and Speak, if you're not using the clock, calendar, stopwatch, or countdown timer, you are writing somewhere in a file. Before you can get to a file, you must in some way be in the file menu. To enter the file menu, you enter O chord.
Option.
A word you've heard before, followed by the letter F.
Enter file command.
And now you're in the file menu. It is as though you were in a restaurant and a menu with many choices had been set before you. You can create, enlarge, reduce, delete, point to, list, rename, get information about, do all kinds of things associated with files. You can even exit the menu with the letter E by itself.
Exit.
Or with E chord.
Option. Enter file command.
This time with an E chord.
Exit.
Works the same. The first thing we did when we entered the file menu back in our study of writing activities was to create a file. O chord.
Option.
F.
Enter file command.
Now we're in the file menu, and from within the file menu we want to enter C for create.
Enter file to create.
It is at this point that Braille and Speak says, okay, you want to create a file. What will you name it? You can use a name of up to 20 characters. However, you're better off using a shorter name if you can. For one thing, the more you write, the greater your chances of making a writing error. For another, if you plan to store information on disk, the disk drive will only accept files with names of up to 8 characters, plus an optional 3-character extension. More about that later. So, where possible, the shorter the file name, the better. So let's practice by creating 7 files, one for each of the days of the week. Wednesday is the only day of the week that has more than 8 letters in its name. No matter, let's use the first 3 letters of each day. Sun, Mun, T-U-E, W-E-D, and so on. I'll walk you through Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday and let you go the rest of the way on your own.
Option. Enter file command. Enter file to create.
S-U-N.
S-U-N.
E chord.
Enter file size.
We'll use one.
One.
That is one Braille and Speak page, 4,096 characters. E chord.
Use grade 2 translator. Enter while you're in.
No, we will not use grade 2 this time.
And sun now open.
Once again.
Option. Enter file command. Enter file to create.
Mun. M-O-N. E chord.
Enter file size.
Oh, 4.
4. Use grade 2 translator. Enter while you're in. White one now open.
All right. Tuesday. O chord.
Option.
F.
Enter file command.
C.
Enter file to create. T-U-E. Enter file size. 2.
All right, 2. E chord.
Use grade 2 translator. Enter while you're in. White 2.
Yes.
Now open.
And Tuesday is open. All right, you take it from here. The next point of study is move to the top of file list. In order to do that, you must be within the file menu. So again,
option, enter file command.
And the command to go to the top of the file list is L chord.
File number 0, shelf 1, page.
To move to the end of the file list, use dots 4, 5, 6 chord. Now, since we just went to the top of the file list with an L chord,
file number 0, shelf 1, page.
To go to the bottom, we're still in the file menu. We can, right at this point, enter dots 4, 5, 6 chord.
file number 16, two pages, braille file.
Now, you probably ended up with a file number and SAT as your last file. I didn't go all the way with you from Wednesday through Saturday in file creation, so my last file is Tuesday, and it's file number 16. I do have some other files in this Braille and Speak Classic. Remember that as we went through a document, we could read the current line by using C chord. Well, think of the file list as a row of lines in a document. The current line would be C chord. We just came to the end of the file list.
File number 16, two pages, braille file.
That's the current file.
File number 16, two pages, braille file.
And we can reveal that information by entering C chord. Then A chord should take us to the previous line.
1-4 pages, braille file.
Oh, so it does.
Sound 1 page.
All right. Let's use Sun as the current file.
File number 14, Sun 1 page.
Now forward to Mun with dot 4 chord.
1-4 pages, braille file.
Now, again, let us treat Monday as the current file and enter C chord.
File number 15, 1-4 pages, braille file.
Notice that when we look at the current file, we're told its number of pages, its name, and whether or not it's a braille file. If it says nothing, it means it's not a braille file.
Sound 1 page. File number 14, sound 1 page.
No reference to braille file, therefore it is not a braille file. The current file is Sunday.
File number 14, sound 1 page.
At least that's the file that we're pointing at. Now let's spell its name. And to do that, we'll treat it as if it were the current word, dots 2-5 chord.
File number 14, sound S-U-N-1 page.
Now I'm going to go forward to Tuesday. When I reach Tuesday, I'm going to spell its name with dots 2-5 chord.
1-4 pages, braille file. 2-2 pages, braille file.
Now for the dots 2-5 chord.
File number 16, 2 pages, braille file.
Now please go to the end, the bottom of your file list.
File number 16, 2 pages, braille file.
And back up one file at a time until you reach practice.
1-4 pages, sound 1 page. Practice 1 page, braille file.
All right. We are now pointing to, or pointing at, the practice file. Suppose we want to open it. We want to get in there and see what's going on. O chord is the command that will do that. So we're pointing at practice.
File number 13, practice 1 page, braille file.
Now enter O chord.
Practice now open.
If you have forgotten how to spell the name of a file or how you wrote it or where it is, this is one way of getting at it. Just as we were able to open a file by first pointing to it and then entering O chord, we can delete a file by pointing to it, or if we happen to be pointing at it, and enter D chord. Let's go forward through the file list to the Tuesday file and delete it by means of the D chord command.
Option. Enter file command.
Remember, we opened practice, so that dropped us out of the file menu. Now forward.
Sound 1 page. 1-4 pages. 2-2 pages. Braille file.
We're pointing to 2 or Tuesday, so now let's delete it with D chord.
Delete 2. Are you sure? Enter Y or N.
Yes, so we'll enter Y.
Y shelf is open. Enter file command.
Now let's point to the current file, C chord.
File number 15, 1-4 pages, braille file.
But I thought it just said, help is open. Well, so it did. But that's because Braille and Speak never leaves you in nowhere land. If you're not in one file, you must be in another. If you want to enter the help file,
file number 15, 1-4 pages, braille file.
All you have to do is enter O chord at this point. That's the one we learned just a little while ago, and there we are, and we're out of the file menu. Another way of finding out what's in our Braille and Speak is to list all files, and that command from within the file menu is the letter L for list. Now, we're in the last file on our list, at least on my list, so we enter O chord F.
Option. Enter file command.
Then the letter L.
File list. Shelf one page. List orb one page. Get one page. Braille file. Recall one page. Charles one page. Braille file. Thread one page. Braille file. Shot periodically 8 pages. Braille file. Pet periodically 1 page. Braille file. Mail 1 page. Braille file. LRS 1 page. Braille file. Work 1 page. Toes 1 page. Left 1 page. Practice 1 page. Braille file. Sun 1 page. 14 pages. Braille file. 21 pages. Remaining. Enter file command.
Don't you wish you knew what some of that stuff meant? Now, before I do anything else, I'm going to have to enter E or E chord if I want to get out of the file menu. That tends to be a somewhat less than satisfactory way of finding out what is there, but it was left from a former time and there's no point in deleting it. So let's do this, the letter E.
Exit.
And it takes you out of the file menu and into the file that you were in when you first asked for the file list. Now, I told you that you were placed back in the file in which you were when you asked for the list. I forgot what file that was, so we have to use the next command. Tell the name of the currently open file, O chord.
Option.
F.
Enter file command.
Again, that's from within the file menu, and then the letter T for tell.
14 pages. Braille file is open. Enter file command.
Okay, Monday is open. It's 4 pages long, and it's a Braille file. Thank you very much.
Exit.
There is yet another way to open a file. We're in Monday. Let's suppose we want to enter the file practice. We can bop up and down the file list, point to it, and open it, and that's fine. We can also open it by name.
Option. Enter file command.
This is done from within the file menu with the letter O.
Enter file to open.
And here you write the name of the file and end it with E chord.
P-R-A. Practice now open.
Now comes one of my favorites. There's another way to open a file, and that's by number. Remember that when we pointed to the current file, it told us a number?
File number 13, practice 1 page, Braille file.
Every time a file is created, it's given a number. It is always a 2-digit number. We don't even have to be in the file menu to open a file this way. The help file is file number 00. Practice, in my list at least, is
file number 13, practice 1 page, Braille file.
So that we may speak a common language, please enter O chord 01. But we're still in the file menu, so first exit.
Exit.
Now, O chord.
Option.
01.
01. List orb now open.
And that fast, we have jumped from file, in my case, 13, to file number 1 and opened it. Let's do O chord 00.
Option 00, shelf is open.
And now O chord 13.
Option 13, practice now open.
The usefulness of this command is that if you're working in file number 6, want to cut and paste and swap information with file 27, you can quickly do it, go back to file 6 without having to go up and down the file list pointing to files, opening them, closing them, and so on. Well, not closing them. You don't actually ever close a file. You just leave it. So O chord followed by a 2-digit number, 00 to 41. The help file and the clip files or clipboard are 00 and 01. You can create 40 files. They go from 02 to 41, and pop in and out of them at will if you know their numbers. And if you don't know their numbers, you can find them easily enough. A few commands ago, we deleted a file by pointing to it and then entering D chord. Now we can also delete a file just by the letter D, followed by its file name. Let's delete practice. It doesn't matter in which file we are located when we issue this command, because we're not going to damage the file we're in. Let's see where we are, though.
Option, and file number 13, practice 1 page, Braille file.
Well, I'm in practice. Let me go to the help file.
Exit. Option 00 shall be open.
All right, now.
Option enter file command. Enter file to delete. P-R-A-C-T-I-C-T. Delete practice. Are you sure? Enter while you're in.
I finished the word practice with E chord, was asked the question, do you want to really do this thing, or you thought it over carefully, do you know what you're doing, you fool? Enter Y or N. I'll enter Y.
Y, okay, enter file command.
All right. It said okay, enter file command, I'll exit.
Exit.
I'm in the help file.
Help file.
Now, practice was file number 13. I wonder what happened to that spot. Well, we can find out by entering O chord, followed by 1-3, the former number of the practice file. O chord?
1-3, Sunday open.
Oh, okay. Sunday moved up a notch. Sunday was number 14. It moved up to number 13 on the pop charts and has taken the place of our practice file. All right, let's create a file called practice again. Do this one on your own, please. I've done it, and I'm going to point to it as the current file from my file list.
Option, enter file command, file number 15, practice 1, page, braille file.
Ah, it became file number 15, because I'll bet you, I'll bet Monday moved up to 14.
1-4 pages, file number 14, 1-4 pages, braille file.
That is in fact what happened. Remaining files pulled up a notch, practice was then added to the end of the file list. It's just had its place moved down in the file list. Now, I don't know about you, but I made my practice file only one page long. I want to make practice bigger. Let's see how many pages are in it.
Option, enter file, file number 15, practice one page, braille file.
I want to make it bigger, so I'll write the letter B. I'm still in the file menu, so
enter number of pages to expand.
Oh, it's one page. Let's make it three pages, so we have to expand by two pages.
Two.
And then E chord.
Okay.
Now let's look.
Option, and file number 15, practice three pages, braille file.
Oh, so we have. But now Monday, or Mun, was, I think, four pages. Let's knock it back to one.
Option, enter file command, 1-4 pages, braille file.
I found it by backing up to it from practice. We need to open the file.
Open.
Now we enter file command.
Option, enter file command.
S.
Enter number of pages to subtract.
And we'll subtract 3.
3. Okay.
Now let's look and see how large Monday is.
Option, and file number 14, 1-1 page, braille file.
Now, because we have taken pages away from Monday, and because Mun is a kind of a silly name anyway, and because we need the experience, let's rename the file. To rename a file, we must be in it. At least to rename it this way, we must be in it. So let's be sure we're in Monday, or Mun.
Mun now open.
All right.
Option, enter file command. Enter file name.
All right, let's name it Max.
M-A-X. Okay, enter file command. Exit.
I ended Max with an E chord, and it said enter file command, so I exited. Now, let's see what the name of our file is.
Option, enter file command. File number 14, Max, one page, braille file.
There you are, Max has got one page. You get sort of silly after you do this for a while, you know. We were expanding and decreasing files by getting into them and entering B within the file menu to make them bigger, and S from within the file menu, and from, in fact, within the file to make them smaller. Well, we don't have to do that. We can point to them and operate on them, just as we were able to delete or open them earlier. Let's point to practice and make it bigger. We get into the file menu.
Option, enter file command. Practice three pages, braille file.
And we enter a B chord. Not just the letter B, but a B chord now.
Enter number of pages to expand.
I forgot what I said, but let's add two pages anyway.
Two.
E chord.
Okay, enter file command. File number 15, practice 5 pages, braille file.
It was 3, it's now 5. Okay. What we giveth, we taketh away. To make it smaller, let's point to it.
File number 15, practice 5 pages, braille file.
If B chord made the pointed to file capable of enlargement, what should we need to do to make it smaller? We would enter S chord. S for smaller, S for subtract, chord, because we're pointing to it.
Enter number of pages to subtract.
4.
4.
E chord.
Okay, enter file command.
Let's see what we've done.
File number 15, practice 1 page, braille file.
And we've done it.
Exit.
Again, we were in a file, and we renamed it by using the letter R. Let's continue to beat up on practice. Let's be sure that we're looking at practice.
File number 15, practice 1 page, braille file.
All right. To rename it, we enter an R chord. We're not in the file, we're just pointing to it. We'll enter R chord.
Enter file name.
And we'll call it learn.
L-E-A-R-N.
E chord.
Okay, enter file command.
Now we'll enter a C chord, because that's the current file, at least, that we're pointing to.
File number 15, learn 1 page, braille file.
And so it was. So that's how we were able to rename the file without actually being in it, and just we could rename a whole bunch of them as we went up and down the file list, pointing to them and renaming them as we went. Earlier, when we read our file list, in the case of my machine, it said 19 pages remaining. Now, we've been deleting and adding, and I don't know what we've got left. But if we want to know how many Braille and Speak pages we have on which to draw to create new files, there's a command that lets us do this, too. It's O chord, F. So far, nothing new. We're in the file menu. And then the letter F for free memory.
Option. Enter file command.
Now the letter F.
24 pages remaining. Enter file command. Exit.
24 pages remaining. Little over half of my available memory space. 45 pages are available as your Braille and Speak comes to you from us. Do you remember that when we tried to write in the help file a while ago, we were told file is write protected? Well, you too can protect your files. You can protect the file when you are in it, or you can protect it by pointing to it. First, let's protect it from within. Let's get into the file, which we've named learn.
Learn now open.
And issue.
Option. Enter file command.
O chord F followed by the letter P.
File is write protected. Enter file command. Exit.
Now let's see if we really have protected it.
A file is write protected. The file is write protected.
Yes, we have. But we can also protect files by pointing to them and protecting them with P chord. Let's back up one notch to max.
Max 1 page, braille file.
And one more to sun.
Sun 1 page.
And let's protect sun with P chord.
File is write protected. Enter file command.
O chord will open sun.
Sun now open.
And I'll press the space key.
Space file is write protected.
No, can't write in that one. All right.
Option. And file number 13, sun 1 page.
I'm now pointing to sun. And I will enter a U chord, which will unprotect.
Unprotected. Enter file command.
Is that true? Let's open it.
Sun now open. A. B. C. D. E.
Yep. We are writing.
Top. A. B. C. D. E.
Yeah, that was writing. Now, let's unprotect practice. But this time, or learn, rather. I forgot what we named it. Let's point to learn and open it with O chord.
Learn now open.
Now, let's do O chord.
Option.
F.
Enter file command.
And then U, just the letter U.
Unprotected. Enter file command.
Protection has been removed. We exit.
Exit.
And let's write.
A-E-L-L-O. Hello.
Yeah, we were able to write. So the file has been unprotected. P and U protects and unprotects within the file itself. P chord and U chord protects and unprotects when the file is being pointed to. In our work together, as we learned to use the Braille and Speak Classic, we talked about two kinds of deleting. In one instance, we deleted text that remained within a file, And that was with the D chord, followed by C, W, L, P, M, or Z. And in another, we talked about deleting the files themselves. It would have been possible to have text written in every one of the files we created, deleted that text, and still allow the files to be standing. It's very much like remodeling a house. You can remove the furniture from all the rooms and leave the rooms intact. When you delete the file itself, that is like demolishing the house. The house is no longer there. There's no evidence of its having ever been there, if you do your work carefully enough. You might suppose that, having deleted the contents of a file, they're gone forever. Not necessarily so. If the file is still standing, you may very well be able to recover material in the file. And this is the reason. You don't really erase text. What you do when you delete is reset the record of where text begins and ends. You have reserved a certain amount of Braille and Speak memory for a file. You've pulled up the stakes that mark the beginning and ending points of the text you want to keep, and the appearance is as if the file were empty, and so it is. But that text can be recovered. Enter the learn file, open it with O chord or however you need to. Go to the top and delete everything that's in it with D chord, Z, E chord. Now, C chord will reveal that the
file is empty.
Now, please write this sentence. Every year has 12 months. I don't care whether you write in Braille grade 2 or grade 1. Write every year has 12 months, period, new line. And when you write 12, spell it out. T-W-E-L-V-E. Now I'm going to read it back.
Every year has 12 months.
All right, now let's see how much room remains in the file. Remember our R chord command.
Room left is 4,066.
Okay, let's go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
And delete everything.
Enter delete. Oh, okay.
Now let's look.
Room left is 4,095. File is empty.
Okay. Remember, programmers start counting at zero, so there really are 4,096 character spaces available. Now we're going to recover the file. To do that, we have to be in the file menu, and it's O chord F.
Option. Enter file command.
Now, the full cell, not a chord, just the F-O-R sign.
Recover file. Are you sure? Enter Y-O-R-N.
And of course we're sure. This is what we're all about.
Why? Okay.
Okay. Now let's see how much room is left.
Room left is zero.
Whoops, what happened? We didn't have that much text written. Let's go to the top.
Top of file. Every year has 12 months.
And sure enough, every year has 12 months is there. All right, upward and onward, I want to go forward a line and see what's there.
Use drop. Temp chill pipe feel dash at dead end.
Let me look at that a minute.
Chill pop it feel dash at dead end.
Oh, that sounds like maybe it was written in ASCII and I have a Braille translator on. Let's see if that makes any sense. By taking the Braille translator off.
Enter Braille translator, enter while you're in. Okay.
And now look at this.
17011-1455.
Ah, that's what it was. It was a zip code. Part of information I had written and deleted a long time ago. Now, why were we told we had no room left? This is because what we recovered was not just the text we'd just written, but everything within the scope of the Braille and Speak page that had held our learn file. The pointers marking the beginning and end of that page were set to their respective places, and everything within the scope of those two pointers was recovered and made available to examine. Now, if you should delete a file that is anywhere but the last file in your file list, if you delete the contents of the file but leave the file intact, you can recover. If you delete the entire file, it's gone. That's because other material will have rushed up and fill the space left vacant by the deleting. If the file is still standing, the entire page will be recovered. You'll have to go to the end of it, or at least to the end of the material you want to keep, and delete everything from that point to the end of the file. The last file in the list, if you haven't written new material, can be recovered. Doesn't matter what you name files, you're recovering blocks of memory, and the command by which you do this is O chord F, and then the full cell, and you follow it up with Y if you're sure you want to recover, N if you've changed your mind and don't want to recover. If you should allow your Braille and Speak battery to become too low and operate it that way for too long a time, your files may be messed up and you may have difficulty in retrieving the information that's in them. Sometimes recovering files will work in such a condition, but backing up files, backing them up by making copies and saving them on disk or somewhere else, for example, printing them out on paper, can be a very useful thing to do. Remember that once you have finished your activities within the file menu, if you're still within that file menu, E or E chord will help you exit or leave the file menu so that you can go on with other activities. And the activities with which we will now carry on have to do with communications parameters and the status menu. Communications parameters and the status menu. Communications parameters are those operating conditions which control the way in which Braille and Speak communicates with other devices, such as printers, Braille embossers, modems, other Braille and Speaks, and so on. The status menu is one way in which we are able to look at these conditions and adjust them when necessary. To enter the status menu, we enter ST chord on our Braille and Speak. That is the ST sign chord, dots 3-4 chord. When we do, we hear
status menu interactive.
It may be that when you enter the status menu, your Braille and Speak may say something different. That will depend on where you are within the status menu. You will enter the status menu at the point where you were when you left it. If you've never been there before, chances are you will hear the interactive off message. To leave the status menu, either enter a Z chord, Z as in Zulu, or E chord to exit. Having entered the status menu, it is possible to advance through it with dot 4 chord, or back through it with a dot 1 chord, go to the end with dots 4, 5, 6 chord, or to the top with L chord. You even can have a parameter repeated by treating it as the current line and reading it with C chord. Just as we were able to zip through the file list with the two-digit number code, we can quickly, almost immediately, jump to values within the status menu by means of what are called quick keys. Status menu quick keys are listed in Appendix B of the manual. I've just counted them, and there are 29 items in the status menu. At the top of the list, we have interactive. At the bottom, ham calls. Let's go to the top again.
Interactive.
Now, we could work our way through one parameter at a time until we came to the one before ham calls off, the next to the last one, or we can immediately jump to it. It is power reminder on. The quick key for that is the letter Z from within the status menu. So I'll enter the letter Z.
Power reminder on.
Power reminder. Remember earlier when Braille and Speak said hello because I hadn't made use of the keyboard, although the machine had been on for more than 5 minutes. Well, it was its way of reminding me that I had left it on, suggesting that maybe I might want to turn the thing off in order to conserve power. All right, let's go to the top of the status menu with an L chord.
Interactive off.
And it says that interactive is off. Wherever I am within a file or from within the status menu, I can turn interactive on or off. From the status menu, the letter G followed by Y will turn interactive off.
Interactive off. Y interactive on.
Interactive is on. So now what do we do? Let's leave the status menu.
Exit.
I left the status menu with E chord, and I'm going to write something in the file called max. I believe I have key echo on. I don't want that. I want to have silent keys now, so
set speech parameter.
Space once.
Delete on.
Space again.
Silent field.
And now we exit.
Exit.
Now it's time to write.
Hello. And welcome to the wonderful world of the Braille and Classic.
If interactive mode is on, each time we write and press the space key or issue a carriage return character, a text that was written since the last space or carriage return is spoken. It means if you like to write and read words as you've written them, this is the mode of choice. However, that wasn't its original purpose. It also is useful if you're communicating over telephone lines using the Braille and Speak as a terminal. When the remote system, the system with which you are in contact, sends information to you, you might want to read it as it's coming in. Or, when the transmission is finished, you might want to jump to the end of the document and look at the last line to see if you are expected to do something. Interactive mode allows you to do this. I mentioned that you could turn interactive on from within a file. To do that, you enter a G chord. If interactive is on, it will be turned off.
Okay.
If it's off, it will turn it on.
Interactive, okay.
That's what it's used for, and that's how you set it into operation. Interactive timeout is another option, and from within the status menu, you reach it by entering the letter X. So first, we're in the status menu.
Status menu, interactive on.
Now the letter X.
Interactive timeout, 0.
In the ordinary writing mode, chances are you will want interactive timeout set to 0. When you are communicating with other devices and using interactive for its originally intended purpose, you may want to set a timeout value. What this timeout value does is this. If no signal comes to prompt the interactive mode to speak, an artificial is sent after the timeout period to force speech. The reason for this is that sometime when communicating with remote devices, if that device fails to send a carriage return, the last bit of material sent to you may not be spoken until you actively ask for it by going to the end of the file and reading the current line, or doing something of that sort. Interactive timeout makes it possible for you to hear the final words even if the remote system doesn't cooperate by sending the appropriate signal. This is not a command that ends in yes or no. It's a command that ends with a number, because if the number is 0, the effect is to have no timeout. And if you have set a value anywhere from 1 to 255, speech will be delayed. I'm going to write the word hello twice. The first time, I will follow the word hello with a space.
Hello.
Now, by issuing X followed by 30,
interactive timeout 30,
I've been able to set interactive timeout to 30. This time, I'm going to write the word hello, but I will not finish it with a space, and you'll see that it will be spoken anyway after about 3 seconds. Here we go. H-E-L-L-O, and I wait.
Hello.
And there it is. One of the parameters we can set from within the status menu is the baud rate at which Braille and Speak sends information to other devices. To do this, we enter the status menu.
Status menu, interactive timeout, 0.
Now we enter the letter B, and are told that we are set now for 9,600 baud. To change that baud rate, we must enter a 1 or 2 digit number, which tells Braille and Speak the baud rate value we want to set. Rates that Braille and Speak recognizes are 150, 300, 600, 1200, 24, 48, 9,600, 19,200, and 38,400 baud. 150, 1,200, and 19,200 baud each begin with the digit 1. This is not enough information to enable Braille and Speak to know the value to which we want to set the baud rate. We have to give it a 2-digit value. For 150, it is
1,550.
For 1,200 baud, it must be 1,2.
1,2, 1,200 baud.
And for 19,000 200, it must be 19.
19,200.
Similarly, 300 baud and 38,400 each begin with 3. Again, not enough information.
3,0,300.
Or 38.
38,400.
On the other hand, 2,400, 4,800, and 9,600 baud begin with unique single digits. 2.
2,400.
4.
4,800.
Or 9.
9,600.
Tell Braille and Speak what you want it to do. The baud rate is the rate at which Braille and Speak sends information. Normally, it is equal to about 10 times the number of characters per second being transmitted. Thus, 150 baud is equal to about 15 characters per second. 9,600 baud is equal to about 960 characters per second. And 38,400 baud is equal to 3,840 characters per second, more than a computer screen full in 1 second. Characters that are sent over telephone lines or over direct cable from one Braille and Speak to a printer or Braille embosser or another Braille and Speak are of a given length. They have what are called data bits, bits that actually identify the character, the letter, the punctuation mark being sent, and these can be 7 or 8 in number. There are stop bits indicating the end of a character, and there can be 1 or 2 of these, and in some cases there can be parity bits, used in some cases for purposes of error checking and maintaining transmission accuracy. From within the status menu, data length can be set to 7 or 8, first by entering dots 456, not a chord this time. Dots 456.
Underline 8 data bits.
If we want to change it to 7, we simply write 7.
7 data bits.
Let's put it back to 8.
8 data bits.
To set stop bits, the letter S is enough from within the status menu.
S1 stop bits.
The other choice is 2.
2 stop bits.
Let's go back to 1.
1 stop bits.
And parity can be even, odd, or none. To get to the parity with a quick key, it's the letter P.
P, no parity. P, even parity. No, not parity.
We'll put it back at no.
And no parity.
Normally, if two devices are expected to communicate, it's useful to know the values of baud rate, data length, stop bits, parity in both devices, as well as something called the handshaking. A normal setting for direct connection of two devices would be 9,600 baud, 8 data bits, 1 stop bit, no parity. That's normal, but it isn't always true, and it's best to check if possible, and if it's not possible, to prepare to do a lot of trial and error work. And the way to check is by reading or having someone read to you information from the manual for the other device dealing with communication setup, communication configurations or control parameters, and so on. Another of the communications parameters with which we need to be concerned is duplex. It comes in 3 flavors, full duplex, half duplex, or no duplex. If our serial port is turned on and we are connected to another device, in the case of half duplex, what we write on the Braille and Speak keyboard is stored in its memory and also sent out the serial port. In the case of full duplex, nothing is stored in memory, but everything we write is sent out the serial port. In the case of no duplex, this is the reverse of full duplex. No material can come in via the serial port, but what we write on the keyboard is stored in Braille and Speak's memory within a file. To set duplex the way we might like, we must enter the status menu.
Status menu, 9,600.
And with a quick key, enter the letter D.
HF duplex.
F for full duplex.
F for duplex.
H for half.
H. half duplex.
Or N for no duplex.
No duplex.
Now we'll exit.
Exit.
And the next time we come back to the status menu, you'll hear it say no duplex. The next parameter is handshaking. Let's go back to the status menu.
Status menu, no duplex.
All right. No duplex. Let's set it back to half duplex.
Half duplex.
Now we have to leave duplex because the next one we want to consider is handshaking. The quick key for handshaking within the status menu is the letter H, but we're in duplex, and if we enter H,
half duplex.
That won't do. We'll never get out of this duplex loop. So let's go to the top of the status menu.
Interactive on.
Now if we enter H,
software handshake.
That's fine. We have three choices. Software.
Best software handshake.
H.
H. Hardware handshake.
Or
no handshake.
N. S for software, H for hardware, N for no handshake.
Best software handshake.
Handshaking is a kind of conversation between two devices that are attempting to communicate with each other. It's almost like a traffic police person. A little while ago, I said that 9600 baud means we're communicating at a rate of 960 characters per second. Now, if a slow printer is receiving information at the rate of 960 characters per second, it's not going to be long before it has more material than it can print out. So it has to be able to tell the device that's sending information to it, hold it, wait, whoa, let me deal with some of this before you send me more. Let me swallow what I have before you put more in my mouth. That activity is taken care of by the handshaking process. To operate the Braille and Speak, we need not know all the details of how the three kinds of handshakes work. What we do need to be concerned with is the fact that they match, that both devices are set to use the same kind of handshaking rules so that reliable, accurate communication can take place. One of the other values we can set within the status menu is the Braille translator. We can turn it on, cause it to translate, or turn it off, cause it to not translate. There's another way of doing this as well. It's one of the parameters that can be set with P chord. P chord T, followed by the letter Y or N, or from within the status menu, the letter T for translate, followed by Y or N, perform the same function. When the Braille translator is turned on, you are able to write in grade 2 Braille and have your text translated back into ordinary print letter number combinations for printing out in ink. For example, let's go back to good old Max and empty the file. Now let's look.
File is empty.
All right, Max is empty. We'll turn the translator off first.
Status menu, software handshake. The Braille translator off.
All right, it was off.
Exit.
Now, I'm going to write this word.
Line, the right brace, and comma, Y.
Now I'm going to turn most, in fact I have turned most punctuations on. Let's look at that word.
Line, the right brace, and comma, Y.
That doesn't make any sense. Again.
Line, the right brace, and comma, Y.
All right, let's go back to the status menu and turn the Braille translator on.
Status menu, Braille translator off.
The letter Y will do it.
Y, Braille translator on. Exit.
Now let's look at that word again.
Internationally.
Of course. Why didn't I think of that? 9 is the ASCII symbol for the IN sign. T for T, right brace or right bracket for the ER sign. N is the letter N. Comma is dot 6. The ASCII comma is dot 6, N, and dot 6, N is the A-T-I-O-N combination. Comma, Y, and dot 6 followed by Y produces A-L-L-Y, internationally.
Internationally.
We said that if you hit dot's 2-5 chord twice in succession, the second time it would spell it. Let's see what it does this time. I'll do it once.
Internationally. INTERN.6
Why didn't it spell it? Well, the IN sign is the only thing that a 9 can be in that sense. But dot 6 If I had written A-L-L-Y before A-T-I-O-N, the system wouldn't have known what that dot six was for until it encountered the letter following it. So, again, it did the best it could with the information presented to it at the time. If you want to write in grade 2 Braille, you don't have to have the Braille translator turned on, but to proofread as you go, you'll find it more convenient to have it on than to have it off. There are times when, as you write in grade 2 Braille, you wish the translator were not quite so literal in its interpretation of things. For example, I have, off microphone, written the sentence, Nashville, Tennessee is a major country music center. I abbreviated Tennessee with the two-letter postal abbreviation TN. Listen.
Nashville, Tennessee is a major country music center, period.
And well, it may be a major country music center tonight, but that's not what I meant.
Nashville, tonight is a major country music center, period.
I meant Nashville, TN is a major country music center. All right, let's fix it. There is a command that lets the translator suspend activity. We can just turn it off for a single character. That command is dot four, placed right before the character. So we should be able to have it say TN if we place dot four before the letter T. So let's go to the top of the file.
Top of file.
And forward one word.
Tonight.
Tonight. Thank you very much. Now we'll insert.
Insert mode active.
Dot four.
Dot four.
And then E chord.
Okay.
All right, now that ought to fix it, shouldn't it? Let's read that sentence.
Nashville, dot is a major country music center, period.
Oops. Nashville, not. It didn't translate the T, but it left the letter N standing there as the word not. All right, maybe we need to remove that dot four and place it in front of the N. Let's see what happens there. All right, I've done it, and it looks like this now.
T, dot four, N.
So we read the sentence.
Nashville, Tatton is a major country music center, period.
Nashville, Tatton. Well, that might be a short form of that one, but that isn't what we meant. We meant Nashville TN. All right, it probably will have to put a dot four before each of them. Right now, the expression looks like this.
Dot four, T, dot four, N.
All right, let's try this one.
Nashville TN is a major country music center, period.
And so it is. Nashville TN. All right, here's a fun one. We are learning to use the Braille and Speak. Now, Braille and Speak is written Braille, either spelled out or B-R-L, space, apostrophe, N, space, speak. It's Braille and Speak as the shortened form of and. It's the Braille and Speak, all right? So I've written, we are learning to use the B-R-L, apostrophe, N, speak, period.
We are learning to use the Braille, apostrophe, dot, speak, period.
That's with most punctuation turned on. Without the distraction of the apostrophe, it says,
we are learning to use the Braille not speak.
The Braille not speak. That isn't what we meant, so we need to place a dot four probably in front of the N, forward a word at a time.
Are learning to use the Braille not apostrophe N.
We're parked on the N. We insert.
Insert mode active.
Dot four.
Dot four. Okay.
E chord, and let's try it.
We are learning to use the Braille and speak.
Just the way we want it. One of the most frequent cases in which you'll use that is in the ST sign for a slash, as in and, or, go, no go. If you want it printed out as a slash, you write dot four ST sign, and it will be. The dot four is not printed when you send such a file to an ink printer. So what happens if you need to produce a dot four character in print, an at sign or an accent mark? Think about that a minute. The purpose of dot four is to tell the translator to not translate the next character. Well and good. If the next character is a dot four, you simply put another one in there. You have two of them. The first one is ignored so far as printing is concerned, but obeyed so far as a warning to the translator is concerned. There are times when you may want the Braille and Speak to suspend translation altogether until you're ready for it to go back to translating again. Now, your Braille and Speak Classic is really quite a clever instrument. If you ask the time and then immediately enter insert and exit, the time will be stamped in your file right where you are, inserting anything in its path, moving anything in its path so that it can insert the time. What's more, if the Braille translator is on, numbers will be displayed in grade 1, complete with number sign. I've written the sentence, the time now is...
The time now is...
I'm going to ask for the time.
Option, the time is 3:52 p.m.
And I'm going to insert...
Insert mode active.
Exit.
Okay.
We'll read the sentence.
3:52 p.m. The time now is...
Now, why did it do a thing like that? It did that because, remember, when we enter I chord, E chord, we insert the information at the point at which the cursor happens to be when we perform the insertion, okay? We just read the current line. The cursor was at the start of the current line, just at the word the. So if we want to have it inserted properly, we need to go to the end of the file. Further, we need to place a space after the word is, because if we don't, well, watch what happens.
The time now is.
The time now is.
End of file, S.
And S is the last character, so we'll ask the time.
Option. The time is 3:56 p.m.
I chord.
Insert mode active.
E chord.
Okay.
Now, back to the top of the file and read the current line.
The time now is 3:56 p.m., so...
Okay, so is was split. The S was inserted. So we need to place a space or something that can't be heard and will not be printed out in a strange way. So let's go back and do it again.
The time now is end of file.
End of file.
Space.
All right, we've got a space there.
Option. The time is 3:57 p.m. Insert mode active. Okay.
All right, now let's read the sentence.
The time now is 3:57 p.m. The time now is IS space number sign 3:57 space space dot 6 p.m. space space end of file.
If you don't like those double spaces, you'll just have to delete one in each of those two sets. Let's suppose, though, that you have numbers written as ASCII numbers. It would sound like this.
The time now is right on when right for NPM.
That's because the zero is seen as a by because it's right next to the three, which is seen as a CON sign, and so on. We suspend translation by placing dot four dash, that is dot four in one stroke, followed by dots 3-6, before the material to be not translated.
The time now is right on when right for N. Low J, insert mode active, dot 4, 3-6, okay.
Now you hear what I just did. I inserted dot 4 followed by dash at the point at which the Braille and Speak had said low J. Now we'll walk through it.
Low J, low C.
Let's insert now the turn it back on command. Insert.
Insert mode active.
Dot 4.
Dot 4.
Followed by the letter L.
L. Space.
And I'll write in grade 2 Braille Eastern Daylight Time with all of the S-T-E-R and the day and the GH command signs in them. And now to read the entire sentence.
The time now is 3:57 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time period.
So to suspend translation, turn it off with dot 4 hyphen or dash, and to turn it back on, dot 4 L, to turn it back on to the do translate mode. Remember, the translator is a Braille to print translator. It translates your grade 2 Braille into print for sighted people to read should you print it out in ink. Next comes the appending of line feeds. Now earlier we talked about the carriage return being a command that moves the print head back to the start of the line of text so that the next text can begin at the left margin. If all that happened was that the carriage would be returned to the start of the line, Soon, you'd have everything you'd printed out written on one line, impossible to read. If printing is done on paper, not only must there be a carriage return, but also a line feed. The carriage return is Control M, the line feed Control J. Some printers are set to supply a line feed of their own whenever a carriage return is sensed. Now, if you supply a line feed and the printer supplies a line feed with a carriage return, it means you're going to have double spacing whether you want it or not. The appending of line feeds gives you control over this condition. If you discover that you're getting double spacing, an easy thing to do is to check to see if appending line feeds is turned on. If it is, turn it off. If all your print is happening in one place, the carriage is going back and forth, the print head is going back and forth, but paper is not moving up through the printer, chances are this command, turning on the appending of line feeds, will solve the problem for you. The way to do it in the status menu is to write the letter A.
Status menu, 9600 red dot.
All right, within the status menu, write the letter A.
A at line feed will transmit to question mark on.
It's already on. All right, then we don't want it, so let's turn it off. The choices are Y, yes, N, no. No, we do not want it on.
N at line feed will transmit to question mark off.
All right, now we'll turn it back on.
Y at line feed will transmit to question mark on.
And that's how you do it.
Exit.
From within the status menu. It, too, is a parameter which can be set with a P chord. P chord A, followed by Y for yes, turn it on, or N for no, do not have it on. The next item is reject ornamentation characters. What in the world are they? Braille and speak can be used to communicate via telephone with computers, computer bulletin boards, and so on. Ornamentation characters are characters used by the operators of systems of this sort to decorate their products. They are cutesies. They are visually creative. If you send the right combination of characters in the right sequence, you can make happy faces, smiley faces, frowning faces, decorate your screen with a string of stars, stair steps of characters, and so on. While visually attractive, this will not do much to add to your listening pleasure.
Star 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 star.
Am I right or am I wrong? Well, if you know you're going to communicate with a bulletin board, chances are you'll want to turn on the rejection of ornamentation character. You just heard a whole string of stars, but if this feature had been turned on, all you would have heard would be
star star.
That's it. When, of course, now I have to tell you that sometimes they are tricky and they will use star space, star space, star space, and there's nothing we can do about that. The trapping out or the rejection of ornamentation characters has to do with trapping out occurrences of more than two characters that are punctuations or control characters in a row. Send a string of the same character, such as a string of periods, and will only keep and report on two of them. Not only will that save you listening time, it'll also save you space in your Braille and Speak memory should you be capturing the incoming information. Within the status menu, the letter O gives you the opportunity to accept or reject ornamentation characters.
Status menu at line feed will transmit to question mark on.
The letter O.
O, reject ornamentation characters, question mark off.
To turn it on.
Y, reject ornamentation characters, question mark on.
We enter the letter yes. We enter the letter Y for yes. And then we enter N for no.
N, reject ornamentation characters, question mark off.
To turn it off. No, do not reject ornamentation characters. This can also be done with P chord O-N or P chord O-Y. Now we come to an interesting set of topics, the setting of format parameters. When you write in your Braille and Speaks memory, you're not writing on a piece of paper. You're not bounded by the width of a sheet of paper. You can write all day and never enter a carriage return. The only time you really need to do this if you know that your work is going to be printed out, is when you want there to be a new paragraph. If you want a new page, you would have to enter a form feed, a control L, Xcord L, as in Lima, and that would force a new page. It tells your printer, no matter where you are on this page, force a new and start the next text on the next page. Well, how then is a printer to know not to print edge to edge and just let the print fall where it will? You tell it by setting format parameters. And you may have one set for print and one set for Braille, and this is where macros can come in handy. You can make up a set of format parameters for print and another for Braille, each with its own macro label, and whether you're ready to print in ink or in Braille, you can just play the appropriate macro, execute the appropriate macro, and have everything set up as it should be. All right, this is so wonderful. How do you do it? Well, you begin by entering the status menu.
Status menu, projector navigation characters question mark.
You can walk through, and quite frankly, I don't remember which direction is the one to take to go from here to there, so we'll use the quick key. Begin with the letter L. Just write the letter L. Line length. That means the print line length is set at zero. All right, we want a print line length of 75, so I'll write the number 75.
75.
And finish it off with an E chord.
Line length 75.
Okay, line length 75. What does that mean? It means that my printing is not to take place beyond the 75th column position from the left margin. Print as much as it wants, but stop at position 75 or sooner. For example, when it reaches character position 68, if it sees that I'm going to write the word Constantinople, there's not going to be room. So it doesn't just go as far as it can. It stops at that point, goes to the next line, and writes Constantinople all by itself at the start of the new line, and carries on from there. We go on through with dot 4 chord.
Left margin 0.
Left margin 0. Now that's not good, because that would mean right at the edge of the paper. We don't want that. We'll set a left margin of 10.
1, 0.
And then E chord.
Left margin 10.
So now this means that we have set a line length of 75 and a left margin of 10. If we're not to print beyond position 75 and not to print any characters except spaces for the first 10, it means that we only have 65 printed characters on the line, right? Absolutely right. If we are using pica type, we will get 10 characters to the horizontal inch. 65, 6.5, 6.5 inches. Left margin of 1 inch, right margin of 1 inch. Then we go forward from here with dot 4 chord.
Page length 0.
No, page length not 0. That wouldn't work. Now, you don't know this yet, but we have no bottom margin, so we have to get there by another route, just as we have no right margin, so we use line length to control the right-hand margin. All right. Normally, you can expect 6 lines to the vertical inch. In other words, if you want an inch of blank paper at the top of your sheet, you should move down 6 lines. We'll get to that in a minute. 6 lines, if we have an 11-inch piece of paper, that means we can expect to be able to fit 66 lines of print on that sheet. But we don't want that many. We want to have a bottom margin also. So if we subtract the bottom margin, we don't want to print beyond what point? We don't want to print beyond line 60. The first 6 lines are blank for the top margin, which we haven't set yet. Then will come 54 lines for printing. 6 plus 54 are 60. Do not print beyond line 60. So the page length will have to be 60. We write 6.
6.
0.
0.
And then E chord.
Page length 60.
And forward with dot 4 chord.
Top margin 0.
Top margin 0. Now, let's set a top margin of 6, which we talked about a little while ago.
6.
And E chord.
Top margin 6.
All right, now we're set. Let's look at that. Let's begin with L once again.
L line length 75. left bar shoot two. Page load 60. Top bar shoot 6.
And there we are. Our format parameters are set for writing in print with Pica type. If we have Elite type, we can expect to be able to print 12 characters to the inch. If a piece of paper is 8.5 inches wide, we multiply 8.5 times 12.
Option C, calculator ready. 8.5 times 12.02 period.
102. Now we'll have then 12 spaces or 1 inch for our left margin and 12 spaces for our right margin. So from
102 period,
we subtract 2 times 12 or 24.
Minus 2, 4, 7, 8 period.
That's 7. The number of printing characters we'll have in a 6.5 inch line. So allow 12 for your left margin.
1, 2.
Plus 78 for your printing characters.
Plus 7, 8, 9, 0 period. Line length 75. 9, 0 line length 90. Left margin 10. 1, 2 left margin 12. Page length 60. Top margin 6.
And there we are. Now, since we've been talking about line lengths and page lengths and printing, it sounds like typewriter talk. And what would a typewriter be without a bell? Well, Braille and Speak Classic has what it calls a column beep command, and that is very similar to the bell on a typewriter.
End of side 3. To continue, turn the cassette over.